This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Lore boys! Lore boys here. My name's James Miller, and I'm joined with...
Joined at the hip with Ethan Palmer.
And joined at the head with Peter O'Donohue.
Oh my god, I have an uncomfortable existence, don't I?
It takes minutes to take off one of my shirts, because you need to go around all three of our bodies, like yeah. One of those, like fair puzzles with the metal ring yeah. that you don't want it to beep.
Yeah, it's very easy okay. for me, though. Yeah. I just throw on a shirt, and it's just me.
Yeah, but I have to put my shirt on first, or else I'll get stuck on the other ones.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Two shirts can't touch, otherwise you get the beep like an operation, right?
So today we are talking about a pretty old Nintendo game, one of the first Nintendo games out there, mostly known for the main character's appearance in Smash Brothers rather than the actual games, but it's called Kid Icarus, and the main character is called Pit, which you might know from the Smash Bros.
There's going to be some 36-year-old who's going to be like, oh, come on, he's well more known for being a Kid Icarus, not in Super Smash Brothers, okay?
I bet you if you put the total game time played of people playing as Pit in Smash Bros. Versus all of the Kid Icarus games combined, you would have more in Smash
way
Bros.
More, way more. Yeah. I fully agree. I'm just saying, you know, there's going to be some middle-aged guy who's just like really upset about that statement.
Send us our first hate mail. We'll fucking read it. I don't care. We got an email at the end of this episode for you.
Shout out to that guy, honestly.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I watched the speedrun, which was guys in their 30s playing through this game as quickly as possible. And the game still looks pretty cool, but
that could describe a lot of speedruns.
Yeah. 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 Well, anyways, Kid Icarus, how did it start? The year is 1986, and a man named Toru Usawa went to Nintendo with an idea for a game.
Okay.
It's a game based on Greek mythology where you play as an angel who fights
I'll
against the gods.
Turn into a bull and have sex with pretty ladies, and they're like, could you choose a different myth, maybe?
Okay, I'll be a swan and I'll have sex with ladies. No, sorry, you're... You're missing the
try
point.
A different bit. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't the animal that was the problem. Okay.
I mean, it is animals that are the problem, but not the specific. Anyway, just get away from the whole having sex with people thing.
So I've heard this game described as if you like Greek mythology, but also anime. Okay. So it takes some liberties with the Greek mythology stuff, but...
I mean, a Japanese game based on Greek mythology, I could kind of see... Why, right?
Yeah. So you play, it's a Greek mythology based game where you play as an angel who fights against the gods. Cool. The main character would be able to jump like Mario, collect upgrades like Link, and shoot enemies like Samus. Remember, this is like the late 80s, so this is the peak of gaming to them. So they wanted a little bit of all three of those.
Yeah. And you could stack multiple pits on top of each other to delete the bottom row of Pit.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And when Pit ate a cherry, he was able to then eat the ghosts that were chasing him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nintendo said, oh, that game sounds cool. So they sent Toru Usawa to make the game by himself and within a few months. He expected to get a team, but they said, no, it's your idea. You go and do it. So he worked.
That's like gaslighting someone. That's fucked up,
right? It's like it's just so fucking
trust you.
Just Shanghai him. They abducted him. They threw him onto a boat. They were like, make a video game. you're stuck on the ship now anyway. You might as well help out, or you're gonna starve to death. Like, yeah. Okay.
The video I watched described him as like spending nights in the office, like sleeping on a piece of cardboard on the ground and just staying up all night trying to meet this deadline.
I don't know if it's still the case, but that was like a Japanese stereotype for like. A long time was like people sleeping at their desks, and like If you fell asleep at your desk, it was considered a good thing because it meant you were working so hard that, like,
crazy.
You worked yourself to sleep.
Speaking of Pit in Smash, like, Sakurai, the director of Smash, didn't he get caught, like, using an IV to stay awake and alive because eating consumed too much time so he could work on Smash Bros?
Wow.
Could be. We'll say that's Loreboy's canon at the very least.
Take that to it. Well, taking falling asleep at your desk to its logical extreme.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the guy's name? Masahiro Sakurai?
Yeah.
He's going to be the one who creates the third Pit game, actually.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
That's why he got into Smash, right?
Yeah. He'd already created Smash, and I think he saw, all these characters have, like, a really big following for their base game, but nobody plays the 1986 version of Kid Icarus, so yeah. Let's make a Nintendo 3DS game, but that's later.
Oh, it's 3DS is the third one, okay.
Yeah.
Way off.
Yeah. So they checked up on him. They gave him a deadline. Toru Sawa was all by himself making this game.
And they checked up on him at the door.
Yeah. 4 months before the deadline. And they saw that Kid Icarus or Pit was represented as basically a block. He didn't even have a character model yet. Some of the levels were coming together, but it was really rudimentary. One guy cannot do this alone.
No kidding. Yeah, this one guy team who only came into us with an idea couldn't finish a game by himself as quickly as we thought.
So the original Metroid that came out in 1986, it just came out. So the whole team that was working on Metroid, which is not a huge amount of people, probably like 4, 5, 6 people, got moved to Kid Icarus's project. So they started working together. And in the last 4 months, they made a game. The game came out, it was finished 3 days before the deadline, but it had no end credits, 5 to 6 levels were cut, but it was good enough. Kid Icarus was born. So what is the lore behind real life, how it came to me? What's the lore of the actual game?
I don't know, Jamie. Why don't you tell me?
Oh, I was hoping you were coming together with that
I knew you told me to, like, bring some notes or whatever, but then I was like, Jamie's a nerd. He'll just do it anyway. And
I did it.
Was I wrong? Yeah, no, I was right. I knew it. Silly nerd.
So this game was set in a time when men and gods coexisted. It's Greek mythology. So, by the way, we're gonna cover 3 games. The first game is now. The second game, we're going to say the name of it and dismiss it because it's not canon. And then we'll talk about the third game in depth. The first game is, like, pretty easy to follow. Second game, we're going to ignore it. The third game is kind of anime bullshit. Like, it gets really crazy, but we'll get into it.
So this is kind of like Fievel Goes West in that case. We've got an American tale about not quite like European Jewish immigrants coming to America. And then Fievel Goes West is the cowboy one. Yeah. And then the third one is, like, the treasure of New York or whatever. And it just turns out that Fievel Goes West, the second one, is non-canon and was technically a dream that he had.
Okay.
I didn't even know there was a third Fievel Goes, or a third American Tale, but I really liked the second one as a kid.
I've seen Fievel Goes West multiple times. I have never seen an American Tale.
I've seen an American Tale, but I've seen Fievel Goes West way more.
And mice go west, but it's non-canon. So Pit Goes West is non-canon, is what we're saying.
Yeah, the middle game was made in the United States. The middle? No, it actually was, and it was not released in Japan, which is why most people just brush it off.
Not even released in Japan. That's rough.
So it's not Pit Goes West, it's Pit Developed in the West, which is the non-canon version.
Exactly.
It's infinitely worse.
I have the name here. The second one is Game Boy, Kid Icarus of Myths and Monsters, and everyone just kind of ignores it exists in the lore.
Not a bad title.
Yeah. But anyways, we can start with the first one, which I think has, for 1986, a nice clean story to it. So Kid Icarus is set in a time when man and gods coexisted, living in harmony in the kingdom of Angel Land.
Okay.
Awful.
Yeah. Named?
Yep. Yeah. Did they had Olympus right there?
Angels, like, I don't think, did the Greeks have angels or any concept of angels?
They had demigods, so, like, Hercules, I guess, would, like, is analogous to an angel, right?
Yeah.
Is he sort of?
I believe it's pronounced anal-agus.
Analgus.
Analgus.
Yeah. Lord Boy's canon.
But yeah, like the Pit, and I only know what he looks like from Smash, obviously. But he has the feathery wings, right?
Yeah. He's a cherub.
He's described as an angel for sure.
Okay.
But before the angels, there's the two goddesses. There's Palutena, the goddess of light, and Medusa.
She's a Smash character, Palutena.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so she's basically Athena for the purposes of this story.
Goddess of
That's what the forums say anyways.
Goddess of wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yeah. So I'll get into what she is, and maybe the comparisons to Athena will be or will not be apt. We'll find out. Yeah. But Medusa is the goddess of darkness. So you can think of Palutena and Medusa as opposing forces.
Yeah.
Sorry, just real quick. Athena is the Olympian goddess of wisdom and war. So.
Dang.
Probably. I mean, she has a long list. She has other stuff, too. Odd.
That's just when you Google it, those are the first two that come up. So me and Pete are basically the first two results on Google.
Tied for first.
Survey says. Yeah. Yeah.
Steve Harvey would have one of his weird reactions to us.
Oh, yeah. Oh boy, he's zany, huh?
Sure is.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about him too much.
we'll do the Steve Harvey lore someday, and then burn that podcast before ever releasing it to the public. So
the unreleased episode, the secret episode.
Yeah. So Palutena lived in the palace in the sky. This is just like way up. Kid Icarus, the way that the first game is played, I've played it on Switch. So if you guys want to play this, if you pay the $10 for a year of online services with your Switch, you have a copy of this game already on the NES player. And it's instead of going left to right, which most games do, you start in the underworld and you're working your way all the way up to the palace in the sky. So it's a lot of climbing and the screen wraps around. So a lot of the staircases will lead from the left side to the right side of the screen and then continue from the left side to the right side higher level.
That's interesting.
So it wraps around.
Considering we were just like shitposting earlier, it is kind of like Pac-Man where it has a little hallway to the other side of the screen.
Sort of, yeah. The gameplay really doesn't feel like Pac-Man. You're like, it's a platformer shooting.
Just that comparison, the fact that
the screen wrap, yes.
Stumbled into being partially right. Survey says.
So for the palace in the sky and the underworld, are these all in relation to Angel Land? Like Angel Land isn't in the sky. It's like Earth?
No, Angel Land's like in the Earth. It's like the city in the middle.
Yeah, okay.
So Palutena actually in Angel Land is all below her. She's constantly giving her light to the peasants that makes their crops grow.
Okay.
Medusa, being the opposing force, is constantly just undoing whatever Palutena does. She builds a tree and then Medusa chops it down.
It's interesting that they chose Medusa because Medusa is not a god or a demigod. She's a gorgon, which is some kind of fucking monster. Yeah.
Yeah. She's not a monster yet. She's a beautiful angel at this point in the story.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you said peasants. Are all the peasants angels because this is Angel Land?
I don't know. Okay. I assume they're people, but because I know at one point they're
monster girls.
They ask like, why are you always standing up for the people? Because especially in the third game, all the gods kind of start fighting each other, and no one gives a shit about the people except for Pit. So I think.
So he's Tyrael from Diablo. Man,
yeah, but Blizzard. That's way ahead. That's way ahead. Right now,
Blizzard really has no original ideas.
Right now, all we have is two beautiful goddesses: one who's building card castles, and the other one who's knocking them down.
Okay,
yeah. Also, Medusa has the power to turn people to stone, so she'll do that from time to time.
Okay, well, she maintains that power as well.
Yeah, she's a beautiful angel, but she still has snake hair that turns people to stone.
Nope, no snake hair yet.
Oh, but yeah. Okay.
This is exactly when it happens.
When did you start dating Mike Wazowski?
In anger, Palutena transformed Medusa into a hideous monster and banishes her to the underworld because she keeps undoing everything that she's doing.
Okay. That's petty enough for Greek mythology. That's legit.
Yeah.
Yep. Medusa wanted revenge. So she plans to take over the palace in the sky. And Medusa joins forces with the monsters and evil spirits of the underworld and creates an army. And eventually gets bigger than Palutena's army. And she has centurions, which are like shirtless dudes with wings flying around.
Hell. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the demons won that.
I love that Palutena's like, you know what? You're becoming a real thorn in my side, okay? So I'm going to send you to this place called the Underworld, where you're going to have a lot of like-minded people who are, you know, eager to unionize and rise up against us people who are living in a beautiful palace in the sky, okay? Yeah. That'll teach you.
Yeah. I think they're all bronze.
Chilling.
Yeah. It was a bunch of cronks, basically. They're all, like, brawn, but no brains. So whenever the demons came up, they kind of just panicked. And they lost that.
Just they're himbos, right?
Yeah. Oh, so the centurions, many of them were
What's that?
Many of them were turned to stone. Yes, say go ahead, Pete.
I said, is that the term for like the Fabio Angel guys, the himbos? Is that like the like a dude Instagram thought, basically?
Yeah. So like a bimbo is a dumb beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And a himbo is a dumb beautiful man.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sorry, there was a whole Twitter discourse on this. That the fans are going to love that joke, okay?
Okay. I don't know. Just like the regender terming of a job just made me think of one of our old bits where someone called nurses doctors or something like that.
I called, because we redid this for the 100th episode, I called female doctors big nurses.
Oh,
yeah,
right,
awful. Yeah. But himbo kind of gives me the same vibe to that.
No, so himbo, it's not like a single axis, it's like a two axis. And there's a whole chart you should see. They're at two of the extremes. So you got like dumb, smart, chaotic male, himbo. Female. You know?
Okay.
And then you end up like max dumb, max male, that's himbo. Max himbo. Dumb, max female, that's bimbo.
It's a political alignment chart, but
exactly.
For your whorishness, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all the himbos returned to stone. And Medusa took possession of the three sacred treasures. These are like what you need to beat the boss in every Kid Icarus game. Okay. You have to collect the three big upgrades to finally fight the boss. Yeah. It's the mirror shield, which is in Zelda as well. Mm-hmm. The arrow of light in Zelda as well. And then the wings of Pegasus, which you have the Pegasus boots, which close enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But basically, these three, the light arrows, strongest weapon in the game, can pierce through any enemy. It also shoots through enemies too, so you can hit multiple targets if you line them up.
Well, that's what pierce through any enemy would mean, right?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't. Yeah, it could. Yeah. Just because it goes through something doesn't imply that it has enough force to kill the thing behind it, right?
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a semi-lethal weapon. So it kills the guy in the front line and just incapacitates the guy in like the second line of soldiers.
It goes through all
humane warfare.
Yeah. It'll go through the first guy, killing him. But then if it hits another person behind him, it'll kill that person, bring the first person back to life. Am I getting this? Am I understanding this right? Or
so to fight Medusa, which is the last boss, you need the light arrows because it's the only arrow that'll do damage to her, basically.
Okay.
Do you rescue any of the himbos?
That's way later. Right now, I'm just talking about the three treasures.
Okay.
The next up is the mirror shield. And it's actually not way later, but we'll get to it. the mirror shield is an important artifact during the final showdown in the palace in the sky. It does not only deflect projectiles from enemies in the palace, it is vital in the last battle of Medusa. The mere sight of her eyes would turn you into stone, so you need to use that to reflect her glance.
That's directly from Jason and the Argonauts.
Okay.
Yeah.
She turned herself to stone. That sounds right.
As far as I know, that's how Jason defeats Medusa, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I was picturing he was, like, holding his shield, and, like, she was behind him, you know? So he's, like, got his back to her. And he's looking at his shield in front of him so he can see her like that and then just like,
and we'll like stab
flailing with his sword.
So he doesn't have to look right at. Yeah, if you look at her through a mirror, it's okay.
It's okay, right? Yeah. I don't think so. Unless she's also a part vampire, in which case she just doesn't show up. I don't know.
Ooh, is a Medusa a Dracula?
Yeah,
I
don't know. What would the main character from the Castlevania series do when he encountered a Gorgon? probably kill her. So
whip the shit out of her.
He also kills vampires. So I mean, confirmed a vampire.
Yep,
perfect. Third and final of the three treasures is the Wings of Pegasus, and this grants unlimited flight. It also lets him get up to the palace in the sky for the last confrontation, so he really needs those. So video games, he'll have to collect the three things before going to fight the final boss.
So basically it's an upgrade, because I know Pit has wings already, what with being an angel.
He's flightless. He's flightless without the Wings of Pegasus.
No wonder he empathizes with the peasantry so much. He can't even fly. He's a shitty angel.
Yeah. He was the runt of the angel litter. He got abandoned by his angel mom, so he kind of grew up with the peasants.
They found him in the barn.
Yeah. What will we call you? Palutena. You, Medusa. You, Athena. Oh, that one? Pit.
Pit.
Yeah. That one need him.
Well, I mean, in a world full of beautiful himbos, like a twink is going to stand out. Right.
Apparently,
the hero that we need.
He's also there's parallels with him and Cupid from Roman mythology. So he's like the god of love. I don't know if the god of love is flightless. I haven't read that far into it. But
Cupid is always depicted as a cherub with wings.
Yes.
In modern day, Earth.
Western canon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Greek and Roman, pretty Western.
Well, yeah. So Medusa, she now has the palace in the sky. She's taken it over. Her sister banished her to the underworld. She rose all the way up from the underworld and took the palace back. And Palutena is imprisoned within that palace. The previously peaceful realm of the Angel Land was quickly turned from a paradise of land into a darkness ruled by the god Medusa. Without any other hope, she asks for the help of Pit, Palutena. So he was down in the underworld at this time. I guess he got knocked down whenever the big battle happened.
But did he get up again?
Oh, he Chumbawamba'd it. he wakes up to Palutena granting him with a magic bow and arrow to assist him in escaping from the underworld. And this is where the game starts. You start at the bottom of the underworld and you like fight your way up.
Okay.
Oh, neat. So the entire game, like level by level, is just the ascension. It's not like multiple. Okay, cool.
Hey,
yeah,
hey,
exactly.
I'm a goddess and I really need your help. I've been imprisoned by my catty sister. Here's a bow and arrow, but not the arrow that you're going to need to actually do any damage to her. You're going to have to go find that on your own. Okay.
Yeah. Cool?
Thank you. What was your name again? Heap. No, it was something like that, right? Hole? Pit.
Oh, my
pit,
God.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you think this one has plot pits, wait till we get to the third one, dude. It's crazy.
You mean the guy who made Super Smash Brothers isn't good at making a cohesive storyline? What?
Yeah, when does the big glove show up?
Yeah.
So, fucking problem.
That's so clever.
They drop one glove into a vat of potion, which turned one glove good, and another glove into a vat of evil potion, which turned the other glove evil.
I almost did Glover for today's episode. I told him a little bit about the lore ahead of time. So yeah, that is Loreboy's canon. The glove in Super Smash is Glover.
I can't wait till Blizzard steals that idea.
Oh, for God's sake, this is fucking StarCraft Gloves of Liberty. 2028.
Yeah. So, Pit, he travels out of the underworld, across the overworld, into the land of the sky, and confronts Medusa in the Palace of the Sky after retrieving the three treasures. The fight for Medusa, I watched a speedrun of it. The game could be beat in like 20 minutes, but the last boss, like, Medusa does not look like the normal Medusa that you think of, with the hair of snakes and everything. It's like a Furby's face sticking out of a brick wall. I wonder if I can find a picture and send it to you guys.
Okay.
It's just too good.
So you could have given me 1,000 years to guess,
never would have guessed. So here's my theory, okay? She got up to the palace in the sky. She got indolent, you know, she started to indulge. She got a little overweight, you know, the size of a wall, if you will. And then someone brought a mirror into the... Someone was like, hey, we found this artifact called the mirror shield. Like, what do you want to do? And she turned her own body to stone.
Okay.
When she looked at it. So that's how she ended up as a face in a wall.
I sent a picture to the Lore Boys chat there.
Just real quick for the listeners. Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh, Jesus, that's awful. It's like a giant eye with a little beak at the bottom. Like, it doesn't look like anything you would have pictured from Medusa.
Yeah. She's got tusks.
Yeah. She does. Speaking of the team that worked on this, she does look a lot like the fight with Mother Brain in Metroid, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, similar concept, right? Just like half the screen or a quarter of the screen is the monster, and then you're the hero dodging. And
in the third one, she looks a lot more like Medusa. This one is just like a horrible rendition of it.
It's like nobody decided to. Obviously, there's no Google in the 80s, but nobody decided to like go to a library and check what Medusa could have possibly looked like.
The end of the game that they had like 4 months to make and were not ready to.
Remember they cut 5 levels out of it?
All the snake-related ones had to be cut, so it doesn't make sense anymore.
But also to that point, maybe it's like one of those things, like the only books you got in Japan in the 80s on Greek mythology were like poorly translated. Maybe this is like a Dark Souls situation where like if Dark Souls created the Medusa, it'd just be a face in a wall in the same kind of way. Like just a weird translation error. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, that's what she looks like. And you end up defeating her. Then you find Palutena within the palace. Then she gives you new armor. And if the secret ending is reached, when you get all the upgrades and hearts, Pit gets turned into a young adult or an old teenager and gets a kiss of gratitude from Palutena.
Oh, she legalizes him with magic?
I don't like that.
No.
Let me just steal your childhood so I can give you a little kiss.
Like, literally.
Yeah.
That's very Greek mythology of her, though. That's super authentic.
That is, unfortunately, very Greek mythology of her.
Yeah. So that was a tough Christmas for him. He got his Furby, and it wasn't what he expected. then Palutena turns him into an adult so she can kiss him. That's the end of the first game. Like, have been playing this, and it's actually pretty fun. It still holds up for an 80s game, I would say.
I mean, NES games are, and SNES games, man, they're classics. I don't know. And I don't know if it's just because like we're just old enough to have played them when we were kids. And that's why that style of game is fun. But maybe one of our younger listeners could try it out and let us know if it's like a piece of trash now or what. But
there is it's janky. It is janky. I'll give them that, but it's charming. So
there's like a kind of an ageless quality to certain amounts of simplicity. Like where something is kind of so basic it can't really get old.
Yeah.
If you think of like game wise that is.
Yeah.
Yep. So rolling right along into the second one, we're not going to linger long here. It's a 1991 version. It was made in the United States, released in the United States, only for the Game Boy, not in Japan. Kid Icarus Myths of Monsters. Yep. The only difference that I noted here is that one of the three magic treasures was replaced. Instead of the mirror shield, they gave it the silver armor.
Okay.
Same concept.
Medusa. Yeah, Medusa's not the main enemy this time, so they don't have to reflect or glance. They don't explain why they switched it out in the middle one, because the mirror shield comes back in the third one. But it just gives them more defense, and it's a different thing.
Okay. Is it a himbo bimbo thing? Is it Mandusa? And he doesn't have to.
The Medusa.
For the Mandusa, since it was the early 90s, they actually put a lot of work into designing that boss, so he actually looks like an actual Medusa instead of like a Furby in a wall.
Once he became a man, they realized that he had value, and so they decided to spend a lot of time working on him. Right?
No, I don't actually know what the final boss is in that game. Everything that I read on the forums and otherwise said, like, just ignore this game. So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to hop straight ahead from 1991 all the way to 2012.
That's a big jump.
Yeah.
That's like the jump between Skyrim and Elder Scrolls 6, probably.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. The jump between Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049.
That's less than that jump. But.
Yeah. So the guy that you brought up earlier, the creator of Smash, Masahiro Sakurai, he's the creator of Kirby as well. And,
really?
Yep. Huh. And so he revived the Kid Icarus series. because he was playing Smash one day, or this is what the folklore says. He was playing Smash one day, and he didn't know why there wasn't any Kid Icarus games, that he found out there was one a long time ago. And yeah, he's like, why are there no games with Pit? I don't know how true that was.
Sitting under an apple tree, and an apple fell on his head, and he was just like, I need to put Pit in Smash.
Yeah. He was sitting under an apple tree, and a kid fell on his head, and he was like, I wish this was a fully grown man so I could kiss him.
Yeah. Put it back on the tree, not ripe yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
So this one's called Kid Icarus Uprising.
Yeah,
it is for the 3DS, and it's a direct sequel to the classic NES game, which is refreshing after the last departure.
So I used to work for EB Games GameStop when this game came out.
I had a feeling that this is why you would know about it, because it was in the time frame where you were at EB Games.
Because I know the 3DS cameras have like augmented reality features or whatever, and we were not supposed to do this, but I didn't give a shit. So anytime kids would come in asking for free packs of AR cards, I would just give them to them. So I was just like constantly giving kids free packs of cards, because you could point a camera at the card and like a little 3D monster would pop up on your desk.
It makes the kids look like adults.
Exactly. you do that drinking game where you stick the card to your forehead, you stick it on a kid, and it ages them on paper. You can snap that and send. Save it into a weird folder on your computer.
Yeah, no, but Ossifer, look at my Nintendo DS.
It's all grown guys, it's all adult kids. But yeah, I was like
look
giving away cards.
Nintendo DS.
Well, there's your episode title right there. Officer, look at my Nintendo DS.
There's no way you could defend yourself from being a pedophile with a Game Boy.
No, but you know who could? Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
He'd have you.
Oh, he'd have your back. Don't worry about it. And then I know also the controls for that game on the 3DS were complete trash and like physically crippled people. So that Nintendo had to release a peripheral for the 3DS that put the thumbpad on the other side of the console.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and there was only one dude who wanted it. I remember he would always come in, and it was like, Nintendo made literally 50 of these and shipped us one, and it hasn't showed up yet. Your pre-order is still valid, dude.
Wow.
He was of age. I didn't need to take secret pictures of him with my 3DS.
Okay, good.
So let's. I don't want to dwell on the stuff
that weird rabbit hole that we ended up in.
Yeah, let's move on from that, because this game is 25 years later in the actual universe, or 24 years later in the Japanese version. For whatever reason, they distinguish that.
The Japanese is a different calendar.
Yeah. They were 1 year behind for some reason.
They're still in 2019. They don't know anything about coronavirus.
Okay, wait. When you say actual universe, do you mean in lore universe?
Yeah, in the Kid Icarus universe, the distance between Kid Icarus and Kid Icarus Uprising is 25 years in the game, or 24 in Japan.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. See, I had misunderstood. I thought you did the math between 1986 and
one. It's close.
Oh, and somehow came up with two answers?
2012?
Yeah. 2012? Well, that is like, that's 26 years, 1986 to 2012. Is it 86 or 87? Anyway.
It would have been close to 86 or 87.
Yeah. So about 25 years. Like
it's close to the real life distance and time too.
But instead of being 24 or 25 years, it's 25 or 26 years.
yeah. So
I know
you guys...
a lot of American fiction likes round multiples of five, which is why a lot of American fiction is 20 years, 25 years, 50 years. It's a cliche I actually hate, is that everything significant happens to happen
on a multiple of five.
On a multiple of five. So that might be, that's total, that's not even Lore Boys canon, that's my own crackpot theory.
Okay.
Here's
your math lore. 24 is a way better number, okay? There's way more factors that go into 24 than there are.
I don't buy a 2.5 at the depth when I want to get loaded with the boys. You buy a 2.4.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 12? Like, come on. They all go into 24.
This is the most convoluted game, and I cannot believe that we're spending so long on the 24 or 25-year part.
Okay, how many go into 25? 1, 5, 25. That's it. That's all your factors for 25. That's some bullshit.
Okay. So the premise for this game, the way it starts off, is Medusa has been revived. So bad girl alive again.
And, okay, and, sorry. The second game is not canonical.
No, we just don't even pretend it exists. Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make a triple sure there.
Yeah. Everyone says it's not canonical. So we finished off. Medusa was defeated. Pit gets turned into an adult and gets a smooch if you got the right ending.
Hell yeah.
And if not, it takes place 25 years later. I'm not sure if that means from him being turned into an adult or from a kid.
Second question, is he in his 40s now?
Yeah. He's got a gut. He's let himself go.
All these angels look very young. But so Medusa's revived and once again attempts to eradicate mankind and get revenge on Pit and Palutena.
Okay.
And it's up to Pit to stop her and the Underworld Army and restore peace to Angelland. So once again, you go and fight. One important thing that happens on the way to Medusa is Pit discovers an item called the Mirror of Truth.
Okay. Like the Eye of Truth from Zelda?
Maybe. Does the Eye of Truth give you a doppelganger?
No.
Oh, is it Dark Pit?
This is how Dark Pit's created. He looks in the Mirror of Truth and it creates Dark Pit, which is not, he's not like part of the Underworld Army. He has no allegiance to Pandora, even though that was who made the mirror. But he has his own free will, and he's a super edgelord. So after he goes and gets the three sacred treasures, Pit challenges and defeats Medusa. So yay, game over. No. This is about like an hour and 20 minutes speedrun version to get to the end of Medusa, which is longer by three times than the first game. But the carpet gets pulled out from underneath you, and you realize that Medusa's not the main enemy. Hades is the main enemy.
Okay, cool.
So you defeat Medusa, and that's what you think is the end, but it's not the end. And Hades has a master plan where he tricks mankind into believing that there's something that exists called the Wish Seed, an artifact that can grant any wish to any person who holds it. And he tells some people that other people have it, and other people that other people have it. It doesn't exist. But everybody's killing each other now to try and get it. But Hades collects all the souls, so that's in his best
interest. Hades making real Thanatos moves out here, huh?
Yeah. Who's Thanatos?
He's the god of death.
Oh.
Hades is like, he's like a Castellan. He's like a steward, dude. He just make sure none of the dead leave. He has no business in actually making them die in actual Greek mythology.
Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, so this draws the nations of the human race into an all-out war. Everyone's fighting each other. And this draws in another god, Viridi, the goddess of nature. So she starts battling with the humans and the underlords. She's just killing everyone with these things that are called nature bombs or something like that. They're basically just nukes that she's dropping on everyone.
It's natural! It's all natural!
It's good for you!
Yeah. This is a gluten-free bomb, okay? Yeah. It's no
naturally
soy.
Occurring acid. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, it has a CBD oil infusion in the center, so after you get all the burns, you're really chill about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She starts coming out with all her force. Servants of the Underworld really don't like that she's messing with them. Like, if she was just killing humans, that'd be fine and dandy, but Underworld servants are also getting hit by this. So they go and take out Viridi's generals and installations, which frees what are like these aliens. They're called Chaos Kin from the Lunar Sanctum. This is the first of two groups of aliens that will enter the fray.
This is getting wild, okay?
It's convoluted.
All
right. Chaos Kin are half the aliens that are about to be involved in this war between nature, the underworld, Hades, and Dark Pit and Palutena.
Yeah, Dark Pit, Palutena, Hades, the nature people, and the underworld people.
Okay.
And the underworld people
Point of order. Pit and Palutena are on the same side, at least, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but not forever.
Oh,
God damn it.
Oh, good. Good. Because, yeah. You know, it was a little too linear for me at this point. Yeah. And just, you know, not everything's okay. So black and white, Sakurai. Yeah. Come on.
So all the forces that be are basically in an all-out war with everybody. But when Viridi starts to weaken, she's the goddess of nature. She had control over the moon, which is the lunar sanctum, which was a galactic prison disguised as a moon. And that's where the Chaos Kin come from. They're weird brain aliens that have magic powers. And they come out of the moon whenever the nature lady becomes weaker.
That's like some kind of actual conspiracy theory that the moon is hollow and like full of monsters. So I'm glad that Sakurai's... he's got multiple tabs open when he's fucking trying to write the story for Kid Icarus Uprising.
Yeah.
Isn't that the story of Dead Space? Moon's full of monsters.
Yeah. The moon is a monster.
Yeah. The moon's made of meat or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So to bring in the other aliens right away, so we have all of our cards on the table.
God.
The massive scale war between the forces of nature, the underworld army, Pit and the humans, and Palutena in there. A mysterious alien race called the Aurum. A-U-R-U-M? Aurum?
Aurum? Are they golden?
They take notice and attack the Earth, ransacking it for resources. So we got the Chaoskin, we've got the Aurum, we've got the Hades Underworld, we've got the Nature Viridi, we've got the humans, Pit, and Palutena.
Aurum is the Latin word for gold.
Called it. Okay. Dab, 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 dab. I'm A-U. Very proficient in... Yeah, with the periodic table, but also very proficient in old Italian. Jamie helps me out. Jamie helps me out with that.
So now with the space invaders coming in, all of the previous forces that were attacking each other join forces to fight the Aurum or the Aurum.
Okay.
And another god enters the fray, the god Piran, who is the god of the sun.
Okay.
They all fight the Aurum, and without getting into, there's details that I cut from here because it's already confusing enough, but the Aurum are eventually driven back, but Piran, the god of the sun, takes over the alien hive mind, the Aurum brain, and tries to use it against Pit, because the god of the sun all of a sudden wants everyone dead too.
What's the sun trying to kill? What did he do? Well,
I mean, have you ever been outside? I'm pretty sure the sun is trying to kill us all.
Yeah, and Icarus actually, I guess, with the sun flying too close, and there's that whole thing.
The sun did kill him once.
That is true.
That's true.
They call him Piran because you better not be peering at his plans to wipe out all life on Earth, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, Pit defeats the sun god and celebrates a short victory. But then he's attacked by the first set of aliens, the Chaos Kin. So the second aliens are gone, but the Chaos Kin were still there. And the Chaos Kin steal Pit's soul and put it into a ring.
This is breakneck pace, man. I wanted to talk about him killing the god of the sun, but they've already stolen his soul and put it into a ring.
Like, yeah.
So
did the Chaos Kin fight the Aurum? Yeah, so the Chaos, they were on the same side. Everybody who was involved was fighting the Aurum, and then the Aurum are finally driven back.
How long is Chaos this game?
Huh?
How long is this game?
25 chapters.
What is Jesus. It? Is this like
the Medusa one, if you speed run it the absolute fastest you can, it takes an hour and 20 minutes, and that's 7 chapters in.
Oh,
so,
Jesus.
25 an hour, chapters.
An hour and 27 minutes at the shortest category in a speed run is insane.
Yeah.
So, he rips the head off the God of the Sun, like in God of War 3, when Kratos defeats Helios, right?
When he needs a flashlight, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So now Pit has a flashlight, which I guess he can use to enchant his arrows with light to shoot Medusa.
But he was looking the wrong way. Medusa's dead at this point. I think he defeated Medusa, and then that's whenever Hades became the bad guy.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, or
okay.
He drove Medusa away. She does come back, but she's like out of the fight for now. Okay.
He wounded her, did not kill her.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one thing apparently in Angel Land that was not fighting multiple space aliens was Medusa.
Yeah.
The bad guy.
The one neutral faction.
Yeah. So remember the last game, it was so simple. It was like you got the good angel, the bad angel. The bad angel gets sent to the underground. You collect the three things and you fight the bad angel.
Yeah.
Now
it's almost
just
like he's trying to cram 26 years of missing plots into one game.
Yeah.
It's like, what if we had like a Halo at some point? And
it's just, and I don't know if either, I know Jamie hasn't seen it, but I don't know if Peter's seen the last Star Wars sequel, The Rise of Skywalker, where it's just the pacing in that movie is just insane, where they're just like every 2 minutes, it's like changes scene to like a completely different plot thread. And you're just like the entire time, you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, just feels like that to me.
Okay, so the ring. Now Pitt is in a ring. Pitt's soul is in the ring. His body still exists, but it's taken over by the Chaos Kin. So Pitt is like a basically a Chaos Kin zombie fighting for things, and the actual Pitt is living within this ring.
Okay. Who and are you playing as in the game now?
So through a series of events, the ring ends up in the hands of Magnus, a human mercenary who helped Pitt defeat one of the Medusa's commanders earlier in the game. So Magnus is one of the Mimbos or whatever you call them.
Himbos,
yeah.
Yeah, Mimbo, so, sure.
He's like a really buff dude in a loincloth who picks up the ring, puts it on, and then becomes Pitt. Because whenever you wear the ring, soul can be in the body. Basically.
So it's now it's Lord of the Rings as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So now you're playing as a beefy dude without wings with just a big sword or axe, and you go to find your own body basically through the eyes of Magnus.
So you possess a guy to rescue yourself from aliens.
Yes. From the second
set
of aliens.
In the same that you have already fought Medusa.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. We're not done yet.
You killed the god of the sun because the god of the sun was trying to kill you and all other life on Earth.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Dark Pit's still out there, right? Like we haven't really touched on his.
We forgot
arc
about
yet.
Dark Pit. Well, it's too busy, Dark Pit. Okay, like call my receptionist, make an appointment, but it's not going to be for a few months. I got so much other shit on my plate right now.
We'll have a war in September. Just chill,
Pit. Dark Pit. I'm in a ring. A buff guy's carrying me to my body so I can get my body back, okay?
It takes longer to read through the plot of the third game than to actually program the first one. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So now he ends up fighting himself and being able to... I'm not sure how exactly he did it. I picture that he, like, got Magnus to slip the ring back onto his own finger.
Stop hitting yourself. Stop putting this ring on your own finger.
And it united him once again. I don't know if he always has to keep on the ring or if he takes it off and he becomes a Chaos Kin, or maybe that's the fourth game.
Who or knows? Like in at the beginning of the Lord of the Rings, the prologue, if someone cuts his finger off in battle, does he turn to ash? And then his soul rests in a river for thousands of years until a hobbit-like creature finds it?
That's why they call it his Achilles finger.
Oh, that is true.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's where we get the expression.
It's Achilles heel Icarus finger. Come on. Yeah. When your finger flies too close to the sun. Yeah, it's if you take your ring out in sunshine and it cuts your finger off because the god of the sun wants to kill you.
It's the ultimate show of hubris. I think you can do that right now. Yeah, there we go.
For the listeners at home, Peter is putting his ring in a shaft of sunlight.
In a sunbeam.
Yeah. So now Pitt is himself again. He finds out in the time where he was getting back to his body, Palutena was actually taken by the Chaos Kin. So Pitt and Dark Pitt team up to go save Palutena. Dark Pitt, he's not like against Pitt. He's just kind of like, who am I? Where did I come from? I don't belong here. Like, he's all edgy.
Shadow and Sonic would team up from time to time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, you got to put it on a Sonic level for Pete, and then he gets it.
Disturbed does Phil Collins covers is what I was thinking about.
But so at this point, it is a shaky relationship, though. Like, Pitt and Dark Pitt really become friends in the next couple arcs that'll happen within three sentences, I'm sure.
Wait. No, there's not a couple arcs. We're playing one video game. Characters can't have three arcs in a video game.
They can now. In this game, they did it.
All right.
Knowing that this is the guy who created Smash Bros., just really does fit so well, where he's like, I'm gonna take 40 characters and we're gonna make a story where they all fit in together somehow, you know, like,
yep,
just very...
Yeah, it's crazy. So at the culmination of the battle where they're trying to take Palutena's soul, or they have her soul, and they're trying to bring it back to the Chaos Vortex with this, like, this other plane of existence where they come from, I guess. But they were stuck in the
come from the vortex.
Yeah, I don't. It's not really clear to me. But they go to another dimension, basically. Pit and Dark Pit give chase and go through this portal into the other dimension and track down the Chaos Kin. They finish it off and restore Palutena, but the Chaos Kin is like this one big entity, because like with its final bit of strength, right before it's dying, it jumps off a chaos cliff into a chaos hole and brings Dark Pit down with him.
That's what I call my butt.
The chaos hole?
The chaos hole.
Yeah. That's when the finger flew a little too close to the sun.
Right? That's the Icarus finger. It's when you combine your Dark Pit with your chaos hole. Yeah. That's the Icarus finger, boys.
I'll let you guys figure out what the ring was, you know.
Okay. So now the chaos skin is pulling Dark Pit into this hole, and Pit, in a moment of glory and valor, dives down after him and reactivates his power of flight with his last bit of energy, and he saves Dark Pit, but sacrifices himself in the process, and he's left in a near-dead coma without his wings.
Cool. Game over, huh?
You might think that, but not quite.
A mortal man would say game over, but not Sakurai with his desk IV drip.
Yeah. So Dark Pit travel... Okay, so the next thing they have to do is in the underworld... There's something called the Rewind Spring. And it's a spring of divine water that allows the user to turn back the effects of time.
I was thinking
return VHSs without penalties.
I was definitely thinking of a springy spring, like something you find in a mattress. When you said Rewind Spring, I was like, that's fucking stupid. Like, he just jumps into the pit and there's just a big pile of springs at the bottom. He just bounces right out of the pit.
Yeah. So there's so many beats of the story. I kind of just have to skip straight to it. They got all the way down to the spring. But earlier, Dark Pit had helped defeat Pandora, and Pandora was like hiding her spirit was hiding with Dark Pit. So waited till they got to the Rewind Spring, and she uses that to revive herself and turn into the humanoid Amazon form that she normally is herself. And then you get to play as Dark Pit and fight, Pandora.
Oh, she's bad.
Yeah, she's bad.
Okay.
In the first game, she's like, the way that you fight her boss pattern is she's like the screensaver on an old Windows computer where she's kind of just bouncing up towards the corners. Oh. And like you're always waiting for her to go directly in the corner. I don't know what it looks like in the
sample text, just bouncing around.
Yeah, exactly. I'd assume she's more fleshed out in this game, but you fight her, you beat her, and by destroying her, you're able to use the spring to restore Pit to life. So now Dark Pit saved Pit and Pit saved Dark Pit. So there's kind of a bond that's formed now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So still, we got to fight Hades. The Dark Pit arc is finally resolved. The Sun God's dead. The Nature People aren't around as much anymore.
What about the Chaos Kin?
Chaos Kin, we beat them. They were the ones when they died. They took Dark Pit down.
Oh, right. The Chaos Ring.
Yeah. And the aura were defeated at the same time as the Sun God, because he took over their alien race.
He was in charge.
The Aurum, everybody got together first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then defeated them.
Okay. Although, a lot of things are tied up now.
The Sun God allying with gold, I just realized, is kind of like appropriate, right?
Right.
Yeah. Shiny golden space is kind of just sun, right?
That's what our sun is, right?
It's shiny golden space.
It's a big piece of gold that reflects the light from the moon.
But it's brighter because it's gold instead of silver, and gold is brighter than the silver of the moon.
All that glitters is gold, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a shooting star arc right now, and that was a segue. I'm going to be very upset.
So now what's left to do is to defeat Hades. He's still a big dick, but we don't like him.
Okay.
So to defeat any boss up to this point, in the last two games, Pit gets the three sacred treasures, the shield, the arrows, and the wings. and he goes and defeats the boss. So he gets all those things. And he gets to Hades, and Hades just, like, smacks him down and destroys the treasures completely.
You know, it'd be okay if the game just ended here, though.
Yeah, like, I know.
Hey, you got to the final boss.
Aren't we ready? They cut this at the seventh chapter. They made us think it was the final boss, and then kept it going to 25 chapters. But we're here.
I mean, I guess if you like the game, it's all good surprises, right?
Yeah.
But, oh, sick. Yeah, now aliens are invading. I won't question why, but I'm happy I get to fight them.
I'll kill the sun. I don't care. Yeah. I'm not the sun, the second boss.
Yeah.
So he destroys it, and then he straight up vores Pit. Like, he eats him.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And then Pit, you have to make your way through Hades' body until you find the heart, and then you attack the heart, causing it to explode. But this doesn't defeat Hades. You destroy his heart, and then Dark Pit comes in with the lightning chariot and swoops you out of there. And
okay.
That's round one. You got to regroup to go fight Hades again.
Where did Dark Pit get a lightning chariot?
Hades then returns the presents to Whoville? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Maybe this makes more sense if you play through the whole game, but just reading about it, dude, I was like, what the hell is going on?
This is like a fucking Lewis Carroll novel. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like he just got high on opium and just, like, rode around making up stories while babysitting or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, what now? Pandora was hiding inside my twin that I got out of a mirror this whole time? Well, why not? Guess I'll kill her, too.
Yep.
Oh boy, my own soul got put into a ring. Well, better give it to this manly man wearing nothing but a loincloth so I can go find my body again.
And then I'll put me back on and stay as myself or something.
Yeah. So now the next step, the three treasures are destroyed. So Pit seeks out Dintos, D-Y-N-T-O-S, the god of the forge, who makes all the weapons.
Okay.
That Pit uses up to this point in the game. And Dintos puts you through three trials to test his worth. I can just imagine playing this game and wanting to be done at Hades. I'm like, now you have to do three trials to get the
next one. Holding this fucking thing with, what, fucking three fingers on each hand? Just, like, desperately trying to keep your tendons attached to your muscles? I'm so tired.
That's why that sweaty guy really wanted that piece from UB Games, man. He was at the three sacred treasures just got destroyed. He's like, I need it. I need to finish it.
I mean, that's very Nintendo. It's like, oh no, the lore of the game is you need to go out and buy this real life Nintendo thing to finish the game.
The three trials are: one, entering your parents' credit card into the game. Two, making this purchase. Three, plugging this into the side of your Game Boy.
And you can also take a picture of your face and print it out on our little printer.
So yeah, Dintos makes him do three trials, and he gets the final weapon. And it's kind of like a mech suit. It's the Great Sacred Treasure, which is a suit of flying armor that has, like, a laser beam in its arm and stuff like that.
Incredible. Okay. Yeah. So now, fucking a cherub has a Gundam. Love it. Totally makes sense.
Why not?
Yeah.
Was it Daedalus Icarus's dad?
Yeah.
He was the one that built the labyrinth, right? So he was kind of like an inventor in Greek mythology?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So Dintos, Loreboy's canon, is Icarus' daddy. Daddy.
Cool. Dintos in the forums, they speculated on what he was. Like, there is a god of the forge, right?
Hephaestus,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's who they think he is, but for us, it's the daddy.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So the fight, so he gets the new mech suit, and he goes to go fight in the underworld. And right now, Hades and him are fighting. They're matching each other blow for blow. But Hades starts making his way up towards the overworld out of the underworld, and he catches Pit off guard, and he crushes the great sacred treasure. So its mech suit gets completely destroyed.
Well, that was useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you got to go on this quest to get this Gundam. Oh no, your Gundam broke. Now you got to fight him without it.
But then Medusa comes out of nowhere and kicks Hades right in the head and crushes his head. And this distracts him from completely destroying Pit. And Hades then sprouts a new head and destroys Medusa completely.
Okay. Yeah. You know, so we've been comparing this game to a lot of things, but I just realized what it is. It's the WWE. This is Hell in a Cell, baby. Okay? Medusa off a 12-foot ladder straight into Hades, okay?
Yeah. Smash Bros, you know, it's really cool to watch, but it's all fake.
Yeah, yeah. They're just actors. They're just actors. Derpy derp, okay? They're just, yeah. Didn't you know they're just actors?
Real idiot.
Captain Falcon rips a line of coke in the 80s and goes to fight Kirby or whatever wrestlers do.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Falcon punch. Okay, so yeah, he sprouts a new head and then easily destroys Medusa and resumes his attack on Pit. But by this time, Pit has picked up the arm from the great sacred treasure, the one that had the laser beam on it.
Oh, my God.
Picks it up and he can't quite hold it up straight. And Viridi puts one hand on, helps him aim it.
Wait, Palutena, where the fuck was she?
Yeah, she's been around. Palutena uses her energy to charge the weapon. And just as Hades is about to lay his final blow, Pit unleashes the full power of his No Nut November sacred treasure. gets him real good, and Hades dies, and that's the whole story of Kid Icarus. I'm sorry for putting you through it.
Oh man, that was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
That was a roller coaster in the dark. Like that was something.
So just to recap. Just Uprising. Let's see if I get this right. Okay, so Pit 25 or 24, depending on which side of the planet you're on, 24, mm-hmm. 25 years later, after the first game, and their Western romp where they were cowboys briefly, fights Medusa, and then defeats her. Then the moon cracks asunder. Aliens
Dark
invade.
Pit. Dark Pit came in right before Medusa, but
found a mirror, looked at himself in the mirror, took a long, hard look at himself.
And then he found that he's also kind of an edgelord, and then the edgelord was real. The moon cracks asunder, aliens spill out. During the fight with those aliens, other aliens are just like, yo, this looks like some prime conquering territory. They show up, everybody teams up, but the sun is like, fuck that shit. Then you fight the sun.
Yeah, the sun takes over the hive mind of the other aliens. He fights his way to the core first and then takes over. So then becomes the aliens kind of thing.
You get turned into a ring and taken over by the Chaos Kin.
Yeah, that's about the guy where I always cracked.
Some guy puts that on, carries you back to your body.
Yeah.
You turn back into yourself, team up with your negative twin.
Yes.
Go into the underworld to fight Pandora.
Well, no, first you rescue Palutena. Because Palutena was taken over. So whenever you're saving Palutena, that's when Dark Pit has his fall with the Chaos Kin.
Right. He sticks a finger in Ethan's butt, goes down to hell. Goes down to hell. You guys fight Pandora. And then, Jesus Christ. It's the most recent part, but it's the most convoluted.
Yeah.
Then you move on to Hades.
Right.
First boss shows up, gets wasted immediately. You get a mech from
Hephaestus. before that you first, fight Hades he smacks you
treasures.
He smacks you climb into his mouth, you punch his heart a bunch. Dark Pit shows up in a chariot made of lightning that he got from somewhere.
He got off screen
swoops you out, and then immediately goes, oh damn, the chariot made out of lightning is out of gas. We won't be able to use it the next fight. Better go find something else. You go find your long lost dad and or god of the forge, Dintos?
Dintos? D-Y-N-T-O-S.
Dintos?
Dintos, the fresh maker.
Dintos the fresh maker. Dintos the mech maker. And you have exactly. You get a mech from him, which is completely worthless, and then you fight Hades again. Medusa shows up, dies. Then both your cool moms show up to load themselves into your gun, and you kill Hades.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
We did it.
That's actually pretty good. I would not have been able to do it if I hadn't been reading about it today.
I was trying to make it a current meme so that we could date this episode. And as far as I got was Pitt standing on the moon, looking at a giant mirror, saying, "Wait, it's all Edgelord," and then Dark Pit behind him with a gun saying, "Always has been," but then also aliens coming out of the moon that they're standing on? I don't know. That's as far as I've got.
Just too much.
It's crazy. But Kid Icarus, if you do have a Switch and you have the online service, you can play the first one, which is kind of cool. I started to watch a speedrun for the second one, but I ran out of time. Or the third one, rather. And honestly, it looks kind of cool. Like, the graphics are pretty nice, and the gameplay looks fun. You're like flying straight through the sky and like shooting things with these crazy laser beams and stuff.
I've seen some gameplay from it. It looks a lot like Star Fox.
Yeah, but it does seem to go on a little longer than you're ready for. So really? Be prepared for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fucking could have ended 18 chapters ago, man. Like,
yeah. Anyways, holy that's Kid Christ. Icarus. I had fun researching it. I hope you guys had fun talking about
it. I mean, honestly, we dunk on it, but then we also dunk on the fact that, like, or, like, everybody, I guess, just on the fact that, like, games are, like, very capitalist and, like, hey, they make one so that they can make a second one because you're going to want to buy that, and so they can make a third one because you're going to want to buy that. And fucking Sakurai was like, no, fuck that. We're putting all the games in one, baby. Every single game for the next 15 years, we're putting it in one game, okay? That's all we're going to sell.
Yeah.
You fucking drop your 50 bucks, you got it.
I wonder if, like, all of... When did he come into Smash Bros? I wonder if he was,
Melee.
Like... In Melee? So I wonder if he was canonizing some of his moves. Like, oh, he gets a mech suit on his ultimate, so we need to... Oh, we got to get that in there. He also has the three treasures, so that's got to be in there, too. He can call on three gods, so we have to introduce them all. I don't know enough about Smash Bros.
He wasn't in Melee. He was only in Brawl.
Brawl. Okay.
Oh,
which was Wii. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you didn't know the story of Pit, now you do.
Do you now really?
Yeah.
No.
Do any of us really at this point?
Nothing. You set us up with this like before we started recording. Like, yeah, it's kind of convoluted, but it's gonna be fun. You never could have prepared me for this.
No, yeah. Again, Peter said you could let him guess for 1,000 years to guess that Medusa looked like a wall made of Furby. But like,
oh yeah,
how have we ever seen any of that coming? Like, oh my god,
too many twists and turns. There's like eight arcs, you know,
oh
like
my
how
god. Two alien invasions.
Yeah. And if you rearrange the letters of Sakurai, it spells M. Night Shyamalan.
Dude, it almost spells Icarus now that you said it out loud.
Holy god.
You could spell a weird Icarus
with a
Sakurai.
K. Yeah.
Like
a Rouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's that. Do we have any emails or anything to cover? I think we have an email.
We do.
We have a new patron as well.
I can pull up the email here.
I have the email up already.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. You want to do the patron shout out there, Biggie?
Yeah. Joseph Butler Hartley. Thanks so much for the support.
Thank you, dude.
Anybody who wants to support us, go to patreon.com/theloreboys.
Yeah.
Or Loreboys.
But I
can't remember which.
The Loreboys. It's on our website, theloreboys.com. It all goes to the same place. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, if you guys would like to play games together, there's been people joining the Discord. We have a wonderful Minecraft server that's been growing full of Loreboys things. Thanks to Terry and 50 Foe for helping out with that.
Shout out.
Yeah, huge. They've been giving me some diamonds, making big old Sonics with farts written underneath it, and things to brighten your day. So
it is one of the weirdest Minecraft worlds I've ever seen in my life, that Jamie takes me on tours through every once in a while, and I would have wanted nothing less other than something feral and preposterous.
Yeah, we've got automated egg farms, which means chickens live in a 1x1 square covered in water for their whole lives, and then kelp machines that farm bone meal, water elevators, all of it. It's fun. You got to come check it out. Get into the Discord, which you can find at loreboys.com and all that stuff, and then I'll give you the info and we can play together.
Good.
But if you want to interact with us in a different way, you can send us an email at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com, just like this long time listener. So this one here is from Haru Chimera Rama.
Hi, Saucy.
It's Saucy Chimera on Twitter. It's a wonderful person. To the boys of lore,
It's been an enjoyable experience. See you three grow with each weird piece of lore of a myriad of mediums. But it has come to pass that you three haven't tried out the lore of Vampire Hunter D series. It's a subjection for the future. What? Oh, a suggestion, I guess. That's an autocorrect that got in there. Yeah. It's a suggestion for the future. And P.S. VHD, which I guess is Vampire Hunter D, didn't copy Witcher since the books came out 10 to 20-ish years after Vampire Hunter D. You can see the author has copied a lot from the earlier series. To love, your lovely debutante, Saucy. So I guess the manga came out prior to the Witcher books in Poland, is what I got from there. I've never heard of Vampire Hunter D, personally, but one of your previous suggestions in the Lore Boys Discord, Alita Battle Angel, will be my next project after the Divine Comedy. So look forward to that in late summer, early fall, depending on when you listen to this.
Billed by the Japanese producers as a dark future science fiction romance, Vampire Hunter D is set in the year 12,090 AD in a post-nuclear Holocaust world where vampires, mutants, and demons slither through a world of darkness.
All right.
Sounds cool.
Spoopy.
Very spoopy. Yeah, I'd be down to do that sometime. I'm probably going to do another Warhammer 40K episode or two following this one. But we love to hear from you guys suggestions like that. The reason why I'm hooked on Warhammer 40K is because somebody suggested it to me and I fell down a rabbit hole with a bunch of Space Marine stuff. Astartes, as they're sometimes called. So stay tuned for that next or in two or something like that. I don't know. Sometime in the near future. My name is Ethan Palmer. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter. If you like the show and you want to get in touch with us, that's contact@loreboys.com or loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. So reach out to us, send us an email, subscribe to us on Patreon, follow us on Twitter @loreboys, whatever you want to do. Huh, Peter, yeah. You have anything you want to plug this week?
At Pete O'Donohue on Twitter and at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Check us out. Send us messages. Marvelous Mellow, keep it up with the Warhammer updates because we're both painting models and kind of exchanging figurine porn. I'm into it. It's all good.
Yeah. And if you want to find me, the best way is to get into the Discord. I've been engaging with the community a lot through there. I've been hopping in calls a couple times a week, playing games together, and generally just hanging out. Oh, even someone joined my WoW guild from the Discord server. And I'm boosting them. I gave them gold. I gave them a bunch of bags. We're getting them all set up. All my network of friends in WoW are helping them out too. So if you guys want to play games together, best ways to get in that Discord, and that's how it'll happen.
If you're currently unemployed and need something to do, we have some unattended corn in the Minecraft server that you could just take care of and whatever. Just do that for us. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, we have automated pumpkin farm, but we could use your hands too.
There's a lot of vegetables out there that need automation, frankly. Pumpkins aren't the only fruit or gourd.
I would like some wheat. We need more wheat. I want to feed our overcrowded sheep, but I don't know how to automate that one just yet. We'll figure it out. Anyways, I think that constitutes Lore Boys.
No, talk about Cash Money. There's still a subscription service available for anybody who is not confused by Kid Icarus.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, yeah. We always have Lore Boys Prime for anybody who doesn't trust the folks over at Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys.
I think the state of California is currently suing Patreon. I saw something like that.
Okay. Well, yeah. So if they're not good enough for the state of California, maybe the state of California should get in touch with the Lore Boys Prime, where we offer great support for small time creators for simple monthly fees. Huh? So you guys want to get in on it? It's $22.42 a month to subscribe to Lore Boys Prime. And of course, this month you will get something very special, something very near and dear to our hearts, something we've been working on for a long time. So the moon is hollow, as you all know, and of course we have a snake farm inside the center of the moon, as we've talked about before. The snakes are to send on a mission to the bottom of the ocean, the Marianas Trench, where they're going to develop a new type of submarine, which can be used also in space. So they're going to take one from space to get to the bottom of the ocean, which they're going to develop at the bottom of the ocean. We still have some steps that we have to develop here, but we're looking for your support to get in on this project. So, of course, once they get to the bottom of the ocean, they have the submarine that could go between both of them. They're going to develop a portal technology that can bring them back to Stalinist Russia, portals both through space and time.
Okay. I think there's a one-time lightning chariot somewhere in there as well.
Yeah. Well, we're looking into lightning chariot technology. I'm starting to think it's a bit of a pipe dream, but once they get back to Stalinist Russia, they're going to be able to fly on the wall, observe and report, let us know what kind of technology that Stalinist Russia was able to develop and what kind of access to the heavens Stalinist Russia had. I'm under the impression that the USSR was actually in direct contact with Angel Land this whole time. Angel Land, of course, being an alternate universe's Elvis Presley's home, what he named it. So the USSR had access to Elvis Presley's house before he died. And of course, as you know, he died on the toilet while eating a peanut butter sandwich. And that peanut butter sandwich is going to be yours if you subscribe to Loreboys Prime for $20.42.
Yeah, that was Loreboys Prime Uprising. Just convoluted. And we kind of got the PB&J right from the beginning, but okay.
Well, you don't just want any PB&J. You want alternate universe Elvis Presley in his home in Angel Land, the alternate universe Graceland, acquired like by some snakes from the moon.
Right. Okay.
Peanut butter sandwich.
Got it. And well, thanks so much, guys. That constitutes.
That would constitute.
Loreboys.
Ouch.
Except this is only the first seventh of the episode. Then yeah. We have 25 more episodes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.